flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning on one of the final football Fridays of the season. We'll have picks coming up at 6:35, conference title games.
What? Football season's almost over?
I know, John. I know.
Oh,
sad.
Don't tell me that. Don't say it out loud. It makes it too real.
And by the way, I looked at the updated pick standings.
Did you?
Oh,
stop it.
Somebody turn her mic off.
Picking games is serious business, but nobody told Heather Park. She's made a mockery of this whole thing.
Yeah, nobody told her. But the guy that, you know, quote unquote, has a side job.
Shut up.
Making a living doing this.
Cut his mic off.
It's got the goose egg last week.
Fake news. I want a review.
0-7, really?
Anyway, we'll do that at the bottom of the hour.
I've had bad weeks, but
I think I mentioned one time, do you think somebody
could just get them all wrong?
Yeah, could pick them all wrong? Well, yes, yes, they can.
The weird thing, too, is like you're just as likely to get them all right as you are all wrong.
Some say it's more impressive to get all right or all wrong, so I'll take that.
So we'll just go oppo you.
Yeah, I don't think I'm winning the picks this year. No one is except Heather.
Oh, it's a runaway.
Yeah, so
there we go. We'll get there at 6:35. Have to relive this moment.
Anyway, last night, Red Wings pick up a win. Let's talk about them for a couple minutes here. It felt a little better to me because of what you had sent in an email earlier in the day. So we send potential topics, you know, before the games are over, just to stay ahead of stuff.
Reverse jinx.
And he goes, hey, if the Wings lose tonight, can we just be done with this team as a playoff team? Like, the streak meant nothing. They washed it all away. They're just not good enough. And that may end up being the conclusion, but it wasn't true last night, John. They did not lose the hockey game. We cannot have that conversation yet today.
The help serve.
We will stave off that conversation.
Oh, we're in staving season already. Stave off elimination. Normally that's held for March.
Well, they are kind of in a rough spot. I mean, they're still near the bottom of the Eastern Conference, but they did win last night.
Yep. And the thing about it is, and normally I'm not like that, right? I'm usually the sunshine and rainbows, as most people like to point out when I run into them on the streets. Oh, you're so positive all the time. And other people are like, yeah, you're such a homer. But I just feel like the Wings they're in a very critical spot right now. And we've talked about it a little bit, where they had that, you know, the 7-game streak, which was nice. And how much of that was, right, the change in coach. Mm-hmm. And does that only last for 2 games, 3 games? Did it last for 7 games? And they went on the skid. And I've always wanted to know, since, you know, what, the first game, Friday, December 27th, so always starts then.
Yeah.
How would Todd McClellan pull this team out of a slump? And we saw the first loss. And I'm not counting day one,
yeah,
but
whatever.
The first loss after the 7-game streak was against San Jose
home.
Yep. Bad loss. So they go on the road to Florida. It's a 4-game road trip. How are they going to respond? And they responded great, right, with a 5-2 win over San Jose. I mean, yeah, over Florida. And then they lost 3 in a row. Mm-hmm. They come home. And this was going to be a very critical time. And I don't think it doesn't end with last night. They've got a 3-game homestand, and now they're going to play Tampa and LA Saturday and Monday, respectively.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to say all three are must-win, but it kind of feels like, at a minimum, 2 or 3.
So people might not realize this. The NHL has a break this year. They're doing like the Four Nations face-off in February. So really, it's Tampa, LA, Western Canada road trip, Tampa, and then a layoff.
Yeah.
And
a long layoff.
You got to be in the fight because you're going to be gone for 2 weeks and you got to keep the season afloat. I mean, this is
critical. When's the trade deadline?
Early March.
Right. So you're going to hit that real quick when you're not playing for 2 weeks.
It'll sneak up on you. So you got to make a case to stay in this.
So they have 48 points or 49 points in 48 games. You got 34 games left. If you get 41 points in 34 games, that puts you at 90. Mm-hmm. Is that good enough?
There's a bubble last
year. First off, I'm assuming a lot that they can get 41 points in 34 games.
Well, they may
need
to add at the deadline. Like, Yzerman can't keep putzing around here. They have to make some moves to try to win.
Like, John used the word critical. It really is. You got to do the numbers. I did this with the Tigers when we started flirting with the idea they could make a run.
Right.
There's simply you circle a number that you got to get to. Yeah. It may not be the right number. But right now, the way the East is, it looks like 90 to 93 might be good enough for the last spot. Mm-hmm. That it's just that simple. And so you start doing the math on getting there, well, they're going to have to play well above water. And the Rangers are surging now. They finally got their act. They're 7-0-3. So they've put in, 10 games they've done. They're only 3 points below the max. You know, so they have elevated. Now, they'll probably level off here a little bit. But they look like they might get one of those spots.
Yeah.
So then you got one spot, and it goes like last year. And you're in that same 91-point ballpark.
But to the point of last year, John, right?
Right.
They didn't add at the deadline. If they got to stay in it enough to justify adding at the deadline. But one of these years, Yzerman can't go, well, because we can't win the cup, we can't buy at the deadline. Like, at some point, you shift into, we are fighting to make the playoffs, and we're going to use our we have a million draft picks. We got a bunch of young players. Like, they're not all going to make it. We need to try to get a little closer.
And it starts with the word opportunity. Like, okay, not every year at the deadline are you going to be even close enough to, you know, you're going to be a seller.
Yeah.
And there's been a couple of years where they haven't done either, right? They've kind of held pat. But at some point, even if you're, like, to your point, not going to be contending for the cup, is there an opportunity? There's free agency in the offseason. There's draft. There's those opportunities. There's trades. This could be an opportunity that they could add for next year.
Would you sacrifice a second round pick to try to make the playoffs?
Yzerman his skin would like peel at that idea, but yeah, I think so.
You almost are like, yeah, we're doing this to make the playoffs. Well, anybody gets in, you got a chance. Okay?
Well, so that's true of hockey, maybe more than any other sport. Get in, you have a chance. You also have to give some of these young players some postseason experience. They get a taste of it, then they can use the offseason to go, where do I need to get better? It would be foundational. It wouldn't be just trying to get in to extend some stupid streak. It would be trying to start a new streak and provide a little bit of a jolt. I mean, he did use the word, Yzerman, expedite, when they fired Lalonde. Like, yeah, he wants to expedite this process. Well, the best way to do that would be trading for a better player, someone who can help you win right now.
Then do it now. Don't wait.
Don't wait.
Savvy GMs set the market.
Yeah.
Go get the defenseman that's available right now, right?
Yeah.
Improve your depth there and just say, this is what we're doing. Give up your second round pick. Call it a day.
Yeah.
But you think he's polar opposite of that?
He's very risk averse. Can we say that? I think that's pretty clear seasons that he's been the general manager. We're doing it the slow, methodical way.
State the obvious. Yeah. I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah, he's risk averse.
I think everybody sees that. And it's just, and the other thing I said in my email, in a part of why I was feeling that way, is some of what Tom said. If they were to have lost last night, it just puts this conversation off a day or two. A week or so, can they win at a rate to salvage the season? They dug themselves a hole.
Yep.
And can they be consistent enough at this point? Because they're not going to win every game, even though it was in the overreactions a week and a half ago, that they can win on a consistent enough basis to be able to salvage the season and get to 90, if that's what it takes, or 91, whatever it is.
They've won. They're 9-4 in the last 13 games. Yep. That includes a 7-game win streak. They're going to be tested when they go out west. The Pistons really picked up some steam when they went out west last month. The Wings are going to have to do something similar. By the way, I had an observation being at the game last night.
Oh, John. Yeah? You ran into somebody with a little self-talk?
Yeah. So you get used to the people in your section the more games you go to. But some people sell the game. They can't make it, whatever. They want to make a couple bucks. And we had someone new sitting next to us.
Oh.
And in getting to talk to him, he went to the game by himself. And he was having a blast. Like, it really felt like a throwback. Just living in the moment. He's commenting on the game, and he knew the game. And guy probably in his 20s. And he was really into it. And he didn't feel awkward that he was by himself.
Well, he wasn't. He was there with all the other Wings fans.
And it's not like people were jumping in and having a conversation with him for much of the game, because people were kind of talking with who they had gone with. But it didn't bother this guy. He's not on his phone. I was kind of jealous of the guy. Like, he just felt so free at this hockey game.
You were jealous of, wait, you were sitting next to your wife and you were jealous of him coming by himself. Like, how are we supposed to read into that?
No, I just mean, like, I feel like people don't go to things by themselves, like the movies by themselves, dinner by, they're afraid of like looking lonely. And this guy wasn't lonely. The guy was having a blast at the hockey game by himself.
I think it's much different if you buy a ticket to go to the movies, because if you go to the movies, right, it's more of a silent event, right? You're not going to have a conversation, even if you go with your significant other or with buddies, right? You may laugh at all the same things, but you're not going to have conversation, or you're certainly not going to have conversation with somebody sitting next to you that you don't know. You go to a sporting event, and I don't necessarily feel like that is going alone, because you're going with like-minded, unless you're, you know, if that had been, you know, give any, you know, different scenario. If that had been a game where, okay, he's a Montreal Canadian fan.
Yeah, it's a little
and he's going by himself, because now you're not going with like-minded individuals.
You're the enemy.
You're going to a fan event.
Yeah, he's rocking his Yzerman jersey.
Sure.
He's having a great time.
If I'm going to go by myself, I could sit there and I could talk to everybody around me. And, you know, hey, while we may not be friends before we get there, we could be friends before we leave.
He's a good guy, a nice guy. And he said after the game he lives 5 minutes away. So I'm assuming he just got a great deal last minute.
Yeah, walked his state.
Yeah. But I didn't know. Have you done that? Gone to a game by yourself? Like as a fan, not media.
Right. I haven't gone to a lot of games recently. I don't even know. I would if the opportunity presented. So somebody said, hey, we got, you know, I got a Lions ticket. I can't go. Do you want to go? No problem.
Sure. Yeah, just a solo ticket.
Honestly, any of the four major sports. I would have no problem because of
the social that everybody around you becomes your social group.
Yeah. Sure.
I'm curious how common this is, because normally when you buy seats, you buy them in pairs or in fours. It's weird to buy a three, or sometimes you'll get a one-off, but do people buy those one-offs? Do you go to games by yourself? 248-539-9797. I'm curious. The guy had a great time.
Yeah.
Kind of opened my mind to it.
I don't think it's weird at all for a sporting event. I think it's odd. I'm not going to say weird for a movie. Or to go
like
to
a restaurant by yourself.
Yeah, dinner by yourself. That one to me seems a little more odd. Not that I wouldn't do it.
Heather, you were pondering that.
Odd things.
I don't know. To me, they're all the same. Like, it's no more odd to go to dinner by yourself than it is to go to a game by yourself.
Yeah, but so you sit down at dinner by yourself. It's not like you're going to sit there and have conversation with the table across from you or the table next to you.
Maybe you don't want conversation. You just want to eat in peace. Yes. Yeah, which... Well.
I can
when you got kids, you might
fully
want that.
Understand that. Yes,
I think
yes.
People would rather go to dinner by themselves than go to a sporting event by themselves.
But you're talking about more of a specific individual. Like,
maybe.
I just need a little time
yes,
by myself.
Yes. Give me peace. Let me eat peace and don't steal my food.
248-539-9797. Have you gone to games by yourself? Just curious if that is more common than I realized. John, you learned something yesterday. You were doing some research for the show.
Oh, yeah.
Cade Cunningham is not an all-star starter. He may make the all-star game. But you stumbled into something that people might not realize. We'll do that next, 97.1.
America's favorite place to watch all your great sporting events, whether it's football, basketball, baseball, doesn't matter. It's Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience absolutely built for us sports fans. Chill in one of the six pools on three different levels for a perfect view, no matter where you're at, of the massive 40-foot-tall high-definition screen located at Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas, and it's right there on Fremont Street. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Bull & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bullandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Wire-to-wire win for the Red Wings. Jumped them early. Maybe a dominant opening period as they've played all season. Win 4-2. Something about Octopus on the ice and Journey blaring out and a Red Wing win and keeping the season on track.
Octopi? Was there more than one?
One.
Oh, there was only one.
One at the end. Maybe I missed more. But yeah, good to see a win. And I brought up, in being at the game, an observation. Guy sitting next to us, not normally there. He bought a one-off. He was solo. And he was talking to no one in particular. He was just having a great time. He was free. He was loose. He was watching a hockey game. He didn't need anybody to interject into the conversation. He was commenting on the game, on the chance. Wasn't sitting on his phone. Like, just totally free and loose and having a great time. And I've never gone to a hockey game or a sporting event solo. And I didn't know how common that was.
Seems to me, now, obviously, very fortunate that the Wings won.
Yeah.
That would be more of an easier event to be by yourself in a win.
Yeah, because in a good mood.
Yeah, everybody's in a good mood. Everybody's willing to talk a little bit more. If it's a game where, like the other night, where they only score one, and then, you know, you kind of like it.
It's dull.
Yeah, then you, instead of sitting there and having that positive self-talk with the rest of the Wings fans, now do you become negative guy because you're like, oh man, 5-on-5, they're terrible, you know, and who wants
and
to
no
talk,
one's
to, that
talk
guy?
To you exactly, right. Exactly. John, the other thing last night, the NBA named their starters for the All-Star game. Cade Cunningham was not named. Ah, travesty. I think he'll still be in the game, but you were doing a little bit of digging.
I did, and so yesterday I mentioned that there were going to be some All-Star performers as we were going through the levels of Cade Cunningham that were going to be announced last night, and they announced the starters, so five on each side. And Cade Cunningham was not one of them, but I wanted to see when they were going to be making the announcements, because I wouldn't say I'm a huge NBA fan, because I mean, there's a lot of different reasons. A lot of people have stepped away from the NBA, and now a lot of people are stepping back in because this is the time of year. All right, football for us is over, and you're trying to figure out, okay, how am I going to fill that void? Well, the Pistons are starting to, you know, rock and roll. So I want to see, is Cade going to be announced tonight? Well, you know, I didn't expect him to be one of the five starters. Now, everybody hold the drama, right? We'll find out next week if he's going to be one of the quote-unquote reserves. But I stumbled upon the new All-Star format.
What now?
The game format for the All-Star games.
Games.
Yes. And that's what, so when I saw this, I'm like, wait a second here. This is very confusing. I don't understand. I thought this was just going to be an All-Star game.
Right. East, West, World, yeah, whatever. Come on.
Stars on this side, stars on that side. They're going to score 175 points apiece and there'll be no defense. But the NBA for a number of years have tried to tweak the All-Star format because they want to make it a little bit more interesting. They want to incentivize the players and they just want to make it something that is pleasurable to watch, yeah, enjoyable to watch. And there's going to be three games. You look like you knew this.
So I knew they were doing something different. I didn't even bother to click on it. I was like, I'll worry about it when we get to the All-Star game. So how does this actually work? You're going to be teaching me some of this.
All right. So there's going to be four teams made up of eight players. And so then I thought, man, they're increasing the number of All-Star players. Not so fast, my friend. There's still only going to be 24 All-Stars.
Spread out over four teams.
No, spread over three teams. So how do they get the fourth team? Yeah. I'll get there in a moment.
Okay.
So the three teams, you have your two starter, your two starting units, and the three teams will be made up of, there's going to be a draft.
Okay.
And the 24 will be divided into three teams. One is going to be Team Chuck, Charles Barkley,
yeah.
Team Shaq for Shaquille O'Neal, right, and Team Kenny Smith.
Yeah.
They are going to draft their NBA All-Star teams. It doesn't say if they're actually going to coach them because I think that might actually be the entertainment value. To me, the best part is going to be the draft because I think those guys together are very entertaining, and we always use Chuck and Shaq's sound, and Kenny just laughs and makes it, he can't believe that either of those guys are as, big idiots at times as they can be, and it's all comical. But the fourth team, you ask, how do they make up the fourth team? That will be the winning team of the championship game of the Castrol Rising Stars. So Cade was in it for a couple of years. Yeah.
So they're going to commingle them now.
Yes. They will also be participating. So it's the showcase of the top first and second year NBA players and NBA G League standouts.
Okay, so throw them in there too.
Right. And the winning team of that tournament will be allowed to play against the All-Stars of the NBA. That's going to be Team Candace, named for WNBA legend Candace Parker.
Yeah.
So you got your four teams.
So one team is going to get to face guys who aren't even All-Stars en route to their,
right,
their spot in the final.
Yes.
Okay.
And so there'll be game one, game two, game three. There's going to be three games. And the champion of that little mini series
wins
the All-Star game. And there is a prize pool of $1.8 million. Each player in the championship winning team will receive $125,000. Each player of the second place team will receive $50,000. And each player of the third and fourth place team will receive $25,000. So,
right,
most of these guys are making way more than that. I'm not sure that to you and I, $125,000, we would be busting our ass to try and win that one. But we'll see what they end up doing. But I'm curious. Did anybody else know that this was going on? Or am I the only idiot that just jumped into the NBA?
John, I think you just broke a bunch of news for our listeners. Wait, there's four teams?
Yeah.
Four All-Star? Yes, yes. Next week, we'll figure out if Cade's in there. We expect him to be. Let's get to Heather with the news.
Well, as the temperatures just dropped over the last couple of days, the ice on Lake Erie massively increased.
Yeah.
So since Monday, the ice covered on Lake Erie has more than doubled.
Get your shanties out.
38% to 80% due to that Arctic blast that we all have experienced. Lake Erie is the shallowest of the lakes and usually freezes before the rest of them. However, all of the Great Lakes are seeing a big increase in ice coverage due to the really, really, really cold temperatures we've been experiencing.
Ice coverage is important.
It is important.
Yes. Well, because you don't get the evaporation and lake levels in the summer are affected by the ice levels. Anyway, But
it's interesting because, when you have how cold it's been the past few days and you hear how this has just doubled in ice, they say despite the really cold air, the Great Lakes total ice cover is only at 23%, which is actually below average right now. So kind of interesting when you hear those numbers. It's kind of crazy to think it's below average because Feels like it's not. Several kids and a school bus driver were injured after the bus crashed into a Washtenaw County ditch Thursday afternoon. And it's all because of how icy the roads were. I mean, the roads were bad for a long time yesterday. The bus was bringing kids home from school when it slid off the road due to the icy conditions, rolled into the ditch. Thankfully, nobody was really injured. There was five kids that were injured with minor injuries, you know, some bumps, some bruises. The bus driver did report having some back pain. There was 30 students on the bus at the time. So kind of a traumatic experience, even though there wasn't any major injuries. But it's scary when I see this happening because eventually my kids will probably be on a bus going to school. Yeah. And you're putting your trust into this other vehicle, this other driver, and you hope they can stay safe. And it's crazy. I'm sure there's reasons why there's not seatbelts in school buses. But I think about that, too. It's like, oh, sure. They crash and all the kids just go flying. It's crazy. Get ready to see higher electric bills in the very near future.
Oh, great.
DTE customers will pay a higher electric rate starting next month as the utility's second hike in a little more than a year was just approved. So they were approved to increase rates by $217.4 million. So what does that mean for us? It means that starting February 6th, which is right around the corner, a typical residential DTE customer will see a monthly increase of $4.61 in their bill under this rate hike. And they're doing this, obviously, to, you know, continue and change the reliability of their system. They need to use it for tree trimming and things they need to do for.
Well, hopefully we see
the company,
the end result of less power outages. And if you have a power outage, it is solved and cured, restored quicker.
We had so many power outages last year. So many. There's so many in Clarkston. I don't know if you guys had as many as we did, but it was just, it was frustrating for
sure.
We
didn't at the old place. I'm curious as to what it'll be like at the new house.
So many. So not only are you going to see a price hike there, you're also going to see it if you want to go camping this year as well. So the cost to camp at Michigan State Parks is set to go up in 2025. So the Michigan DNR recently announced it's adjusting fees for modern and semi-modern campsites and overnight lodging. So it'll be a rate increase between $4 to $10 a night, depending on location and amenities. Yeah. It sounds like it's going to, everything you're going to see a rate increase for, except there will be no fee increase for rustic campsites in state parks and state forest campgrounds. Everywhere else, you're going to be paying a little bit more.
So, I get it. Do you do the passport on your license plate?
We do.
Yeah, we do as well.
But I'm not, we're not a camp, we're not.
You're not campers?
We're not campers. I would be a glamper.
You're just like going, you're a day tripper?
Yeah. I could spend more than a day, but I need a hotel at night.
Yeah.
I need a little bit more than a tent. I could do a camper or like an RV. Yeah. I don't have one, but I could do that. I'd like a bathroom.
Yeah.
Running water. Got contacts.
They have bathrooms there. They got showers there.
I'm well aware. Yeah.
You would not be caught dead in one of those.
I would. Yes, I would be caught dead, but I'd prefer not to be.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Heather with the news. Picks are next. It's 97.1. Lions fans toast to the Kings of the North with 1800 Tequila. The best taste in tequila and a proud partner of the Detroit Lions. Make sure you grab their limited edition Motor City Jersey bottle. It's on shelves now. It's made for this last Lions season. And you'll know it because it looks like the Motor City alternate jerseys the team wore Monday night against Seattle. Unfortunately, in the Bills game, but also the game where they clinched the North. So we're celebrating the Kings of the North with 1800 Tequila. Those bottles will be gone soon. Get yours wherever you'd normally buy 1800 Tequila and enjoy the number one super premium tequila as well as the taste of victory on game day. 1800 Tequila, Proximo Spirits, Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly. All right, let's get to the picks. And a recap, unfortunate recap of last week.
Heather, very fortunate. Let's hear it.
Heather went 4-3. She's 88-60 on the year. This is supposed to be hard. This is supposed to be a challenge. This is against the spread. She's got a 15-game lead on Tom, who is now in second place after a 3-4 week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in third place after an 0-7 week.
Oh.
And yeah, John, followed by Greg to round out the standings.
I'm out of the basement. Sorry, Greg, I'm not trying to throw you under the bus. I'm just happy I'm not last.
Props to you.
Yeah.
Let's get after it.
We start in the NBA. It's not a league. It's an association. Pistons travel to Orlando, Florida, hometown of Bob Ross, no longer with us. They take on the Magicians, who are favored by 3.5. Jim.
The Magic are getting healthy. They got blown out last night, but I'm going to take them at home here with Franz Wagner back for them.
So I'm going to jinx myself. I'm done very good so far in the non-football games. So here we go. I'm going to go with Jim here. Orlando's lost 5 in a row. They lost by 22 last night, but they are one game behind the Pistons in what might be an early important game here in the NBA standings.
Yes, and I do think the importance of this game, especially for a young team, a team that needs every single win along the way. Now, they're not going to always get it, but I think JB gets this team right. I think Cade makes another statement that says, yeah, I am an all-star. And I should be an all-star. And next year, I want to be on the starting all-star 5 and announced early. So give me the Pistons.
I was going to take the Pistons.
Until I did. You're welcome.
No.
Until we realized Orlando's the hometown of Bob Ross.
Oh, exactly. Yes. That little tidbit helped me. No.
Thoughts and prayers.
I instantly kept singing a song, and it actually was in my head this morning because of this, that I've got the magic in me
this
every
is
time
why
I
so this is
I'm
so
going with the magic.
Stupid. That's why you make these picks, and you're 88-60. This is unbelievable.
It's literally been in my head all day. So
did we just get a little bit of Heather singing?
Oh, that
right
was
there?
Not singing. That was just kind of talking. Yeah, lyrics.
Just talking.
Take what we can get.
Magic have lost 5 in a row. Pistons are playing hot. Things are going to even out a little bit in the NBA. I'll take the Magic.
John's on an island.
Oh, I'm on Piston Island. Oh. I'll take that.
Homer.
Yeah.
College basketball. Friday Night Hoops on Fox. Dusty Mays Michigan Club goes to Purdue Mackey Arena. Boilermakers favored by 4.5 points, Tom.
All right, so the obvious stat here is Michigan's lost 4 games by a total of 8 points this season. Yeah. And why are they 4.5 point dogs? Because this is the Big Ten when you go on the road. This time of year, sometimes you just get ugly blowouts. However, I trust Michigan here to get a lead early and then either barely hang on or blow it like they've done in virtually every game this year that's been against a good team. I'll take Michigan in the points.
This one's difficult because of what you said. This is a team that can be a mismatch nightmare, a matchup nightmare, and they find ways to get up by 10, by 16, and then they find ways to blow those leads, and it's turnovers. And I think Purdue is too good of a team, too well coached, too consistent, and so I'm going to go with the Fighting Lucy Jansons and go with the Boilermakers.
I'm also going to go with Purdue. No rhyme or reason to it. I know nothing about Michigan or Purdue basketball, but I'm going with the Boilermakers.
John, you should drive down to West Lafayette and watch us and root for Michigan next to your daughter in the student section. It'd be great. This huge, tall guy with all these people in May.
Trust me. I did think of that because Lucy's birthday is next week. I was going to go down and do that whole thing. We just got too much going on tonight. Ruby's got a game. Jack's got a game. I mean, like, just too much. But, yeah, would have been awesome.
Mackey Arena is one of the toughest places to play in the country. Michigan's going to be walking into a hornet's nest. Give me Purdue, Jim.
Yeah, it's so weird because normally Purdue has the size edge on everybody they play, but Michigan comes in with 2 7-footers. Mm-hmm. I think that's very interesting. Unfortunately, you're right. If you can't take care of the basketball and you're at Mackey, I will take the Boilermakers.
Michigan State playing Rutgers at Madison Square Garden. The Spartans are favored by 2.5 points. John.
I'm going to go with the Spartans. I haven't followed either of them enough to know. I just know that I can't stand Rutgers. They don't raise to the level of other, you know, disdain in the Big Ten, but just the fact that they're in the Big Ten, I'll take anybody to spank Rutgers. So give me the Spartans.
Yeah, go green. Going with the Spartans as well.
Your people?
My people.
This game is not at the rack. Neutral site game, Spartans!
Yeah, the fact that it's not at Rutgers really threw me off. Otherwise, I would have picked this as an outright loss. Sneaky, tough place to play. Spartans have won 11 in a row. Would the magic come to an end? No. This team's going to get it done at Madison Square Garden. Give me the Spartans.
Well, Heather's blowing us out here, and for S's and G's here, I'm going to change my pick because I've been waffling anyways on this, but I'm going to do the death Yeah.
That's not good.
It's never good to change your pick. But I'm going to give you a stat here. You would think not playing on Rutgers campus would be a good thing. However.
Oh, boy.
Okay, come on, Stoney.
Tom Izzo, who's won 70% of his games in his career, is 4-13 at Madison Square Garden.
Whoa.
Give me Rutgers.
Now, that's typically against, like, Duke and Kentucky, yeah. I'm assuming, not 500 Rutgers.
Yeah. Any chance you don't have to go to Piscataway is a good opportunity.
And UConn in the 14th season.
Yeah.
All right, to the NFL Championship Sunday in the league. Let's start Eagles Commanders. The early game, the over-under set at 47.5. Heather.
I'm going to go under. That's
because.
Just what I'm going to do. I don't know. I'm going to do the limbo. I'm not sure.
That's how you get 28 games above 500, just because.
Let's say the refrain. You can't hit the under until the game is over. So let's take the over. Jim.
We'll take the over as well. I think they're going to run the ball in Philadelphia. Saquon Barkley's had big games against the Commanders. And I think Jaden Daniels has shown more than enough to suggest he will make some plays and have a say in this. The over is the play.
Yeah, I'm going to go over here too. I think this is a little head-scratching that it's this low. Maybe one little twist is Jake Elliott has been struggling.
Yeah.
And maybe they missed some points there. But the Commanders are going for it. They're going to go for it here. They're not leaving anything on the kitchen table. So I will take the over.
Yeah, same reason. I think they're going to go over. I think they're going to have to rely a lot on Saquon because Jalen Hurts is a little banged up. And he may score two or three touchdowns, but I do think Washington has that offense that they've got a certain rhythm going right now. They're going to score some points, so I'll take the over.
All right, to the game itself now. The Eagles are favored by 6.5 points at the link against the Not Lions. I will take the Eagles laying those 6.5 points against the Not Lions. Jim.
Yeah, I think the Eagles beat the Not Lions because they stay committed to the ground game against the 30th-ranked run defense, something Detroit certainly missed out on.
Because they're not the Lions.
Yeah.
Tough call here because I really have been a big proponent of the Eagles all season. I'm going to go with the Commanders here. I think there's a lot of points for a team that can put up points. And even if things don't go so well and the rookie bubble kind of bursts, this number is so big that a backdoor cover's in play. I'll take the Commanders.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Commanders as well. And I think just in terms of, I almost wore my Legends hat today, but I thought, too soon on that one. But Jaden Daniels, he just has, I don't see the fact that he's going to, turn it, but do I have it on?
You are wearing the hat.
Oh, I guess I am. I grabbed the wrong hat this
Did
morning.
You get, I was you have two of the same shoes on, Sony?
Yeah,
I was jaw-dropped. I'm like, does he know he's wearing? I'm looking at Greg. He's wearing the hat.
I was going to wear it. I grabbed the wrong one. This I actually put it on. I think I looked at the other hat and thought, maybe I'm going to put it on. I was in disarray this morning. And so, I'm going Commanders. You can see the moron that I am on Twitch if you want to. Yeah.
I'm going to go with the Eagles.
Where am I? Good for you.
Yes. AFC Championship game. It's the nightcap. It's game number 502 for Jim Nance calling in the NFL. Let's start with the over-under. It is set at a similarly total 47.5 points. Jim.
Here's my pick. Low scoring.
I'm going over here, and again, I'm surprised how low this is. These teams scored 51 when they played earlier this year, and I'm just getting a feeling I think this one might be one for the ages with the quarterbacks. We might look back on this game, and I think the Chiefs' offense has got some things in the arsenal with the health of Hollywood Brown. I think they're going to go head-to-head. This thing might go overtime.
A game for the ages.
That's right. Jim Nance on the call. Ooh, Jim!
I think it goes over as well. I think it's going to be an epic quarterback battle. And it's just one of those things where, do I think that the Chiefs offense is really that good? No, but I think when Josh Allen starts scoring, Patrick Mahomes will respond. And it's just going to be a shootout.
I am going to go under again.
Now to the game itself.
Just because.
The Chiefs are favored by 1.5 points. The game is playing at Gaha Field. Tom.
Wow, it's so tough to pick this game. And it's just history says Josh Allen doesn't beat Mahomes. And this is the suckers game again. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not going no suckers card here or anything. I'm just going to go with the home team and the quarterback that's proven it. But I'm not that confident. Josh Allen has been unbelievable this year.
Yeah, this one's tough to pick. I don't know that there's going to be any level of confidence in picking this one because it's basically a pick 'em.
Yeah, basically.
I'm going to go Bills. Just I think Josh Allen is kind of on that terror, and he just seals the deal tonight, tomorrow.
Yeah, I feel pretty confident.
Sunday, whatever day it is.
I'm all discombobulated. Yeah. Someday I'll be combobulated, just not today.
You know, I just think one thing with this game, just one quick thing with this game. Until somebody not named Tom Brady or Joe Burrow beats Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs, I'm not going to pick him. I just can't go. I got to see it.
Next year, if Josh Allen wins, you're going to say, well, until someone not named Josh Allen or Joe Burrow, Tom Brady plays.
No, I think that bit dies.
Heather?
I am going with the Bills, and I feel confident.
Oh.
You don't go against the family. One would say that when you're in the mafia, and I will say this for my family in the WNY.
They're in the Bills Mafia.
Buffalo.
Yeah.
Jim.
Yeah, it's all well and good, Greg, and I am rooting for Bills Mafia, but this is Mahomes in the playoffs. It's Andy Reid. It's a good defense. Everybody keeps dogging the Chiefs because they don't win by enough. They've got a really good defense, and they only have to win by two. Give me Kansas City. And those are the picks. We'll get John back to this planet next. Yeah. 97.1. Lions GM Brad Holmes yesterday at the podium. We played it live at the end of the show. You guys may not have heard any of what Brad had to say yesterday, but I think that clip, he's talking about F them picks and the mentality. They want to draft. They'll trade a pick here or there for a player that makes sense, but they are not in F them picks mode. And he even kind of bristled at the window talk too. Like, we don't believe in windows. The walls aren't closing in. Certainly doesn't feel like they need to get uber aggressive. He said, stay the course a bunch yesterday, John.
Yeah. And I mean, he also used the term, that's why we are where we are. Well, I mean, that cuts both ways. We just lost in the divisional round, and maybe we're there because we don't have that one player. And I don't necessarily think that's the reason now, but I also think, yes, you could continue to build for the draft. And I'm not a proponent of, hey, two first round picks for this guy. And you know, unless, like he said, it's the right fit and it's going to help the team win. I don't know that that guy's out there. And I know everybody's probably right now thinking of Max Crosby. Maybe that is the only one that would make it plausible. But then you start thinking about salary cap. You start thinking about guys that you might not be able to keep down the road. Who would you be willing to cut later to have Max Crosby opposite Aiden Hutchinson? And I think that list probably grows quite a bit because everybody would drool over the possibility of seeing those two guys on the field for a long time here in Detroit.
So where are you guys at? Stay the course or F them picks? 248-539-9797. And we'll play more of Brad Holmes here in the next half hour so you get a better idea of just where he's at. But for you guys, is it stay the course, or would you like to see them be a little more urgent in trying to capture a Super Bowl while the iron's hot?
I think this is right now, in the offseason, it's a stay the course for me. And because I think Brad Holmes, what do we know about him? In his track record, and it grows every year, he's been pretty good at draft picks. Not everything is hit, but a high percentage for him, higher than most general managers have hit. And this, to me, is a year where you're going to need a lot of picks because you've got to water the garden and fertilize it a little bit. Offensive line and depth on the defensive line. We've seen this year, depth on the defensive line is huge. And I don't know, nobody can predict injuries. All you know is that they're going to happen. Maybe not at the same rate or on this, you know, and on one side of the ball as they did this past year, but you can never have too many offensive linemen. You can never have too many defensive linemen. I think that was made abundantly clear to us this year. And with an aging O-line, like how long does it take Frank to recover from this year? With the torn pec, the foot, the toe,
he says he feels great.
Terrific. And but as guys get older, and we heard Brad talk about Kevin Zeitler, guys of a certain age, you know, it really becomes a part of the equation. Can you make it through a 17 game season enough to where we can count on you? And if they're looking at Zeitler going, well, do we want to re-up him and bring him back? And I'm just using him as an example, because you can put Taylor Decker in there, Frank. You can put Glasgow in there. Are we good with 13 of the 17 games? So that's about what you got out of Decker this year.
Mm-hmm.
Are we good with that? And do we have the talent to step in there in those four games where one of those older offensive linemen aren't going to be? So it's a long way to get to. I'm good with right now, not of building through the draft. Now, when you get into the season, I think you open up the opportunity at the trade deadline to say F them picks.
Yeah, I know he's done such a good job. Back-to-back executive of the year, Brad Holmes. We got a really good one here in Detroit. Far be it for anyone to question the way he has built or plans to keep building this football team, right? He's done it unorthodox. He drafted a running back in the first round. He took an off-ball linebacker in the first round. But he has kept this offensive line going. He's found all pros late in the draft, St. Brown and Kirby Joseph. You certainly want him to have draft capital. But I'd be lying if I said I didn't want them to show more urgency, given the fact that they had squandered two different real chances to win the Super Bowl. Because he's such a good drafter, I am comfortable giving up a first-round pick or potentially two first-round picks, because I know I can find Kirby Joseph in the third or Amon-Ra St. Brown in the fourth. Max Crosby was essentially begging to get out of Vegas with the comments about how much he appreciates what Detroit's doing right now. We know Brad Holmes called about Max Crosby last November per Dave Burkett. That's not just some blogger. That's Dave Burkett, as trusted a beat writer as there is, saying, no, they called about Max Crosby. So I don't think I'm asking for anything Brad Holmes hasn't already been interested in doing.
Well, and Brad basically said that yesterday without talking about names. You get to the trade deadline, and he said that was the most challenging, you know, moment for him as a GM, because you're going to call on all these guys, and then all of a sudden you figure out they're not all available, and it starts to really pare down on those that might be available. And he obviously ended up landing Za'Darius Smith, but when you start removing guys like Trey Hendrickson, Max Crosby, all the guys that we had talked about at that time, if they're not even on the market and there's nothing that you could send Cincinnati or Vegas at that time to get those guys, now you're looking at two or three individuals. One of them had, you know, starting caliber of play, but you're not the only ones in the market at that time, which I think kind of makes it more remarkable that he was able to send what he wanted to Cleveland to get Za'Darius.
So Crosby's contract, I believe, is up after 26. 26 is when the cap bill starts to really come due in Detroit. It's when Goff's deal really balloons. It's when Sewell and St. Brown are really going to be deals to navigate around, and you can, and Brad will. It's going to be hard to keep everybody beyond 2026. You start throwing in Hutchinson and Joseph and Branch and Laporta, and no one asked about J-Mo yesterday. Maybe he's not here. I don't know. My point is, if you like all these guys, you want to keep all these guys, it may not be possible. So is it worth trying to win while you have them all in the next two seasons? And I know that is a little more F than picks, and that's not stay the course, but isn't that the best way to try to win a Super Bowl while I have Joseph, Branch, Laporta, J-Mo, Hutch on top of the guys they already paid, on top of a short window with Max Crosby? It might be he's not going to be here long term, but you bring him in for 2 years to chase a Super Bowl for a team he grew up rooting for. It makes a lot of sense to me. And because we know Brad Holmes has called on it, I don't think I'm just spewing this morning. I don't think I'm just trying to force something I want. I think it's at least a consideration for Brad Holmes, and it would pull him away from the current course, and it would push him more towards F them picks.
And then when we come back, I'll tell you why there might be a sliver of reality to making that call.
Ooh, okay. Hey, Dustin, make this update quick. I want to hear it. It's 97.1.